Welcome to Highly Questionable. We've got Izzy Gutierrez behind him. You might see some pillows that my brother has made, and behind Dominique, because Dominique is interested in credibility on a football Monday. Helmets to give off the gladiator spirit. Let's get started.
Who impressed you more, Patrick Mahomes on the final drive or the Raiders up to that point?
All right, you guys want to talk about space age offense and stuff, and I want to talk about former Monday Night Football broadcaster Jason Witten. One catch, 1 yard, one touchdown. He will be able to do that carrying a dialysis machine across the field at 90 years old. He'll be able to do that for you. The Chiefs are overwhelming. We know this. It's not just that they've got a great quarterback. They've got the best tight end in football. They've got the fastest wide receiver in football. And they will be scared to holy hell if they have to see that Raiders team in the playoffs, because that Raiders team can play their way with them. There are not a lot of teams that can end up doing that. We've always surmised that what you need to do against the Chiefs is hold the ball, slow it down, do it the way Belichick did it. The Raiders are like, no, let's go. Well, we also have a mutant tight end that we can throw to, and we will enjoy throwing to. So I was impressed that the Raiders were able to do that again, that after beating the Chiefs, they came that close to beating them again.
Yeah, I think you're right. The most impressive part of that game was the Raiders and not necessarily Patrick Mahomes and that space age offense. And that's the crazy part, is because I expected Patrick Mahomes to lead that game winning drive. When the improbable becomes the expectations, it's weird because you don't appreciate it as much as you should. But we should be celebrating how amazing Patrick Mahomes is. But the idea that the Raiders could win a game that the Chiefs weren't overlooking, they marked on their calendar. They were looking forward to this game. They were prepared for this game. They wanted revenge. And somehow, for most of that game, the Raiders were probably the better team, but the one difference between those two teams is at the quarterback, and that spot is the most important. And we always know if you give Patrick Mahomes the ball with a chance at the end, it's more likely that he's going to get the job done than not.
Well, that's the interesting part to me there, Dominique, is because if you tack on another minute to this game, it felt like Carr would have been the game-winning quarterback, and then you would have talked about two games in a row where he beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and he looked comparable to Patrick Mahomes. And if you look at that head coach in John Gruden, if you think of a team that he would want to copy, it would be the Kansas City Chiefs. It looks like the most fun team in the league, and John Gruden's all about that fun offense. Well, that offense looks like it's kind of mirroring the Kansas City Chiefs, at least trying to build that way. If you look at their roster, Derek Carr, say what you will about him, he's an above average quarterback, but Henry Ruggs is trying to be out there as the next Tyreek Hill in the years to come. Waller as a tight end looks Kelsey-like in his unstoppability. So I do think that John Gruden's looking that I want to be the Chiefs. And so far through two games, it looks like I'm pretty close to them. So to me, of the two, they were more impressive.
Yeah, I think Aguilar fits in that category also as like the Sammy Watkins, the guy who's at his second location, was a high drafted player and has found a way to have an impact that he wasn't able to have in his first location. So you're right. They're building something that is very similar, but it ain't the same because it had one man under center. It sucks for them.
No. It ain't the same because it has one man named Jason Witten. Again, I want you to notice that hairline. I want you to notice that he was a Monday Night Football broadcaster at one point. I want you to imagine Steve Levy out there, one catch for 1 yard for one touchdown.
Were you guys entertained by all the play calls by the Raiders and all the names and everything else, or were you annoyed by it by the end of the game?
Entertained. I'm always here for the gimmicks and gadgets. It was fun. It's only annoying if they stink. If they're out there making these silly names and then the players are ineffective and they can't keep up, then it leaves them open to like, why don't you focus more on football and not on being cute?
What did you think of, though, whenever they called a left-handed NBA player's name, they would run to the left, James Harden, Chris Mullin. Whenever they threw a right-handed player's name out there, they'd run to the right. If I'm John Gruden, I've got to sort of think these things through a little bit more.
That requires a lot of basketball knowledge. Can't you just go words that start with L and start with R? Like, that's what we always used to do. We're running the blitz when they come out with the back to the right side. Rip, rip, rip. Liz. I don't have to then Google which hand my NBA player works or uses in order to know which side to run the play to.
Wow, you were even less sophisticated. You were even less sophisticated than shouting James Harden.
I mean, we would also do, some geography would help, where we do East Coast cities, West Coast cities, like that sort of stuff. Because you just bring up a map in your mind and you're like, hey, Baltimore. That means we're running to the right.
That is risky if you're
going
geography.
That is risky. You know that's with the defensive linemen. You know how risky that is with those players who know how to destroy a refrigerator, not put it back together.
Should we blame the Bengals for not protecting Joe Burrow enough?
Boy, was that game over as soon as he left the game. They put in Ryan Finley, who didn't do anything and gave all those Bengals fans post-traumatic stress disorder because they were relying at one point on Ryan Finley. And you know how important Burrow is that he takes all of the team's hope with him. But if you're going to ask the Bengals to protect a guy who has been drafted that high and is the savior of the franchise, I would ask you, why not just blame football, given that they changed all the rules that make the quarterback not play football like the rest of the players on the field? You can't hit him high. You can't hit him low. You can't hit him hard. And yet he still gets hurt. I'd prefer to just marvel at the idea that Phillip Rivers is still out there, never missing a game. And here goes Joe Burrow out for the season, even though all the rules are meant to protect him. What are they going to do? Mixon was out. They need Burrow. If they want to win the game, he's going to be throwing the ball 45 times.
Yeah, you can't keep everybody happy with Mixon out. You can't say, hey, run the ball a lot. He's been out a lot this year. And so if you can't sort of take advantage of your shiny new number one pick at quarterback who's doing really well, then what can you do as a football coach? Like, I understand dropping back to pass gives him more of a chance to get sacked, but whether it be quick passes, it could be something that keeps him from getting hit also. And granted, yes, he has a bad offensive line. Yesterday out there, Tua Tagovailoa for the Dolphins had two rookie tackles with him and was getting trounced by that defensive line and eventually got pulled. So what you have to say is, can we actually play with him, or do we have to fear that he's going to get hurt just because he's throwing a lot? You can get that injury at any given time, whether you drop back 20 times or you drop back 50 times. It's frustrating to hear the blame game when really he just got very unfortunate.
Yeah, we've been looking at this all season, and people have been talking about how it's so dangerous that quarterback's going to get hurt. I think that's why people want to blame, is because we've been warning them. But the problem is, there's not much you can do about it at this point. If you have one really, really good player and the rest of your players aren't that good, your team is going to be in a lot of losing battles, and that player is going to have to be out there in those situations quite a bit. I know, I think it was Mike Tannenbaum earlier in the season said, why don't they bench him? They should bench him now because this is a lost cause of a season and protect your guy. But I'm not sure how you build a team around deifying this one individual and making it so that he cannot develop as a quarterback. So this sucks. Football is dangerous. Sometimes sucky things happen in football. So it sucks for him. I hope he comes back as good as he was leading up into this point. But, I mean, dems the breaks.
It reminds me of those cowardly baseball fans who think they have a young, you know, starting pitcher with some, you know, some gas, and they're just like, might as well give him his Tommy John surgery now because you know it's inevitable. Well, obviously a leg injury like this is not inevitable, but it's the NFL. You're going to get hurt. If it would have been a high ankle sprain and you would have been out for 4 or 5 weeks, would we be giving this type of criticism to the front office? I don't think so.
I want to marvel at sort of the sea change in that sport, where I'm guessing you guys don't spend a lot of time these days worried that Lamar Jackson isn't going to be able to hold up running the ball that much. He won the MVP. We stopped thinking about that. Now it's, oh, it's dangerous to throw the ball too much. That's also dangerous. Why? Because football is really dangerous.
Coming up next on my son Stevie Show.
Watch the defensive back here, Izzy. The defensive back is like, here, this is where a good quarterback would have thrown it. A good quarterback.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Did Taysom Hill's performance vindicate Sean Payton's decision to start him?
A lot of angst on that one. You saw a lot of reporting from Schefter and others that the Saints were torn, and I felt like that reporting was meant to protect the feelings of Jameis Winston, who has a one-year contract and went to that team because if Drew Brees goes out with 11 fractured ribs, he thought he would be getting the resuscitation that his career needs. But yesterday against a really bad Falcons defense, Taysom Hill did enough. Like, he looked to me a little bit like Tim Tebow out there, which isn't really a compliment. He did all of the little things that you need, and he ran around out there and provided some versatility that you would not have gotten from Jameis Winston. When a couple of pass plays broke down, he scored what seemed to be rushing touchdowns on broken plays, and so they were able to use him in a way that was good enough, because the Saints are good enough. They haven't lost in 2 years when their backup quarterback's in the game. It's because they've got a lot of other really good players. I did enjoy, though, that Michael Thomas, you never see him drop the football, that Drew Brees throws a much softer football. And so what happened is the ball goes right through his hands, because Michael Thomas has been, you know, running around out there with velvet gloves for a while, just catching these little fragile throws from Brees.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's vindicated in the fact that they won, but if we're being honest, that was about the Saints' defense. If you watch that game, it's no way that you walk away watching that game thinking that it was about Taysom Hill being great. Taysom Hill managed the situation. He made a couple plays here and there, but that defense had like 37 sacks. They were creating plays, turnovers, short fields, and shutting down everything that was happening there for the Falcons. So I think that we need to be celebrating that defense more than we should celebrate Taysom Hill. So hopefully in the future, I would love to see Jameis Winston get a chance to show himself, because Taysom already got paid. And Jameis Winston, he went there expecting to beat Teddy Bridgewater. And then when the chance came, they're like, you know what? You're not that good.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing. The defense is the reason that team won. But obviously, all eyes are on Taysom Hill. And my one thought on that was, imagine the level of credibility lost in Sean Payton if Taysom Hill goes out there and is terrible. Because you've been telling us about him for so long. You've been using him here and there. It's like, we're building up. We're building up. You're not forced to start him. You go with him over Jameis Winston. And if he would have been terrible, they've got to be looking at each other and say, what is this guy doing? Why are we letting him make his decisions for us? It turns out he was okay. Probably going to start for the next couple of weeks. And if he does so, they can breathe deeply, because it would have been an absolute disaster if he didn't.
I mean, I think the highlight of the game of Taysom Hill, it like embodies the entire Taysom Hill experience, is this marvelously bad yet completed pass down the field.
Watch the defensive back here, Izzy. The defensive back is like, here, this is where a good quarterback would have thrown it. A good quarterback. That guy stumbled 20 yards into the end zone trying to defend a pass that would have been made by a professional quarterback.
Dwight Howard banking in a three-pointer is what that is.
Are you ready to bury the Ravens season?
Oh, look, they're a good football team. I just want to marvel at what yesterday was, because that was a throwback football game. It is rare when the violence sort of pops off on your television and is something as well that you feel the tensions between the teams before the games. Malcolm Butler is going at it with Harbaugh. This is after Tennessee ended Baltimore's historic season last year. And then afterward, Vrabel and Harbaugh don't want anything to do with each other. I just love what Tennessee did to Baltimore in terms of physicality at the end of the game. It's not just A.J. Brown breaking every tackle in their secondary to score an important touchdown, but it was Derrick Henry again and again and again. You are not used to seeing Baltimore, going back to when Dominique played for Baltimore, you are not used to seeing Baltimore being on the receiving end of a physical beating, and that's what happened yesterday at the end of the game.
Yeah, you mentioned throwback, Dan, and that's what I was looking for in this meeting, at least from Baltimore, but this was nothing like the Baltimore teams that I'm familiar with. You're talking about a team that was up 11 in the second half and lost that. They gave up a 90-yard drive in overtime to lose the game. And this was a Baltimore team that had all the incentive, all the motivation in the world. They'd obviously lost a couple of games. Lamar Jackson had called Kansas City his kryptonite, but they lost to the Patriots. And here they are losing to the Titans again after losing to them in the playoffs last year. It seemed like the Ravens had all the reason in the world. Heck, the Titans had a little picnic on their crest before the game, and that got people all riled up and everything else. So if you would have thought the Ravens would have had a sort of comeback game, this would have been it. And then they put a second half together like that, and it just makes you wonder. Right now they're out of the playoffs. It makes you wonder if they're going to crawl their way back in.
Yeah, I think the defense is the most concerning part, because the one thing that you can rely on throughout this season is that their defense would stand up when they needed their defense to do so. That's what scares me about where they sit right now, is their defense kind of fell apart towards the end of that game and gave up a game-winning drive that you rarely see them give up. I always expected their offense to struggle because they weren't going to have all the luck that they had last year. Obviously, you're going to regress from a historic season. And then on top of it, you have Hall of Famers retiring off the offensive line, a ton of injuries to important players on their offense. So I'm not surprised that their offense isn't what it was, but it hurts to see their defense give up big plays like that in important moments. That scares me for the duration of this season. But you never know with a franchise like that and a player like Lamar Jackson. He could take over the rest of the season, but if Super Bowl is their aspiration, which is what I thought it was at the beginning of the season, that seems like a long shot at this point.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question which ref got it worse?
A proud hallmark of this show, mocking the officials, the judges, the rule enforcers when they embarrass themselves because they are older than the people running around out there, and sometimes they get in the way. So first, we go Alabama-Kentucky here. What happened to this referee? Look out. Look out.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh. Oh, That was a real pinballing situation there. I want to watch that again.
Could have been much worse.
Can we watch that? It was pretty bad, but can we watch how many people hit this poor guy? One. Oh, wait a minute. Number 26 tried to do that. Hold on a second. Let me go back here for a second. Number 26 from Kentucky dragged that referee into the play to help with the tackle.
Check the history between those two.
Now let's check in here. The Dolphins, their one positive play yesterday. They're excited about it. Xavien Howard is very good at that, and they're going to celebrate the fact that that produced their only touchdown by trailing that guy. Let's see that from another angle so you can see the full pod of Dolphins here trampling that dude.
He was going down anyway, and then he gets kneed in the head. I feel really bad for these guys because probably amongst their group of friends in their age group, they're probably the most fit of them, right? their job requires them to run up and down a field, but all they do is get made fun of for looking like, you know, brittle pieces of, you know, old man.
They're part of the field. That's the rule. They're part of the field. I respect that the NFL team just kept running, left them there. Those college guys got something to learn. They try to help them up and stuff. Like, no. Do you help up a piece of grass after you step on it? No. Refs are part of the field. Let them fly.
Wow, a piece of grass.
A blade.
Really, you are that dehumanizing. The old people are not humans. They are a piece of soil.
I mean, I might be a little more sympathetic if it wasn't so many flags on pass interference. Like,
now, see, I hope they air this to show your cornerback bias. That poor old man was holding his face in pain, and the empathetic Dominique Foxworth is someone who looked just like you, flagged me for 5 yards 7 years ago, and now is my chance for vengeance.
Do you question if it's possible to side with the defensive back on this offensive pass interference call?
All right, there was some decent football played in the Big Ten. Indiana lost, but is the big winner of the weekend for playing Ohio State that close. You've got Illinois making fun of Nebraska via tweet, saying thanks for being in a hurry to welcome back Big Ten football. When you're getting trolled by Illinois, you're in a special place in hell. And here we've got Purdue and Minnesota. We've got the fourth quarter. Minnesota is up 3. Purdue's got the ball. And that should be a touchdown that would ostensibly seal the game, but that is offensive.
Oh, good
pass
call.
Interference. No, how is this a good call?
Look at that. Look at that.
Look at what?
He's pushing
what?
Off.
Separation. What was that? That's not offensive. Separation. What are you talking about? How was that?
Dominique, you can't even. You can't.
No, look at him. He's doing it right now. What are you doing?
What a play. What a call. The refs have the guts to make the right call in that situation. I'm proud of him. Good job. I would help up that zebra. If he ever got trampled, I'd help him up because he's a good man.
He basically touched his hand, Dominique. Come on now. I don't care for Purdue football, but if I did, I would be probably going nuts right now and probably boycott television for the rest of the year because that was terrible.
Wow.
I mean, a little DB reparations is not bad. Like, all the bad defensive pass interference calls that we have throughout the history of football, can we not have a little reparations for a defensive back? Just a little, a smidge.
Check if Tim Donaghy was doing that game. All right, fine, Dominique. Do you think that all these are offensive pass interferences too?
Yep. I don't need to see them.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Definitely a push-off.
I don't see a flag. Yes. No, not a push-off. Field, no.
No way that actually happened. That didn't happen. You guys are great Photoshoppers. Quality Photoshop you got going here.
Wow, how did you keep that job for so long?
Let me see that last one again, and I want you to drink in the face on Dominique.
Man, I look good in all circumstances. How can you be handsome about retirement even in that situation? Right there. I demand one day we spend the whole 30 minutes showing my good plays. Like, how do you have to dig so deep? There have to be so many.
I know we can fill 30 minutes.
Tonight on ESPN, Monday Night Football, Rams and Bucks.
That should be a fun game, but we will take you instead to the comedy stylings, the hijinks of Gronky and Tommy here. They're talking about whether or not tight ends are underrated. Let's see what we have.
Tight ends.
Oh, tight ends.
You know everybody loves a tight end.
Oh, they do. I would say we're, you know, underrated. I mean, agreed. Underrated in all aspects. People don't understand that they block, that they catch. And then if you're talking about the other tight end on them, I mean, that, you know, that will always be underrated because you can't have...
Too tight of an end?
Yeah, too tight of an end or too big of a tight end. That's no such thing. So it's always going to be underrated, Tom.
You would think that that would not be funny to them after that many years talking about tight ends. You're laughing because of how stupid it is. Correct, Dominique? Are you intrigued?
Of course. I'm absolutely intrigued in the football game. But I do believe that Gronkowski is a legitimate star. I don't know if it's delivery. I don't know what it is about him because that is not funny. But I can't help but smile whenever he's on TV saying stupid, like, lowbrow jokes. They make me so happy.
Izzy, you have a face of skepticism there. Are you intrigued?
No. I'm skeptical of the producers for not getting Rob on the show. He's just the king of improv, Dan. He would just fit in so well. Yes, just show him something funny and say, hey, make us laugh, Rob.
I bet he's got a whole library of wide receiver jokes as well. A big library at home on index cards. We are finished here. Izzy Gutierrez, thanks to him. Dominique Foxworth, if you want to find him, the undefeated. I didn't have anything to promote for Izzy Gutierrez. Was it that obvious? I didn't say anything. I just said, Izzy Gutierrez. I just said his name, and then I moved over to Dominique.
Isn't that promotion enough?
Sir Mix-a-Lot all of a sudden. I love a big tight end.
What? They block? They catch? What do you mean?